Robert Murray McSheen, I love what he said about trials, about all things working together for good. He said, how soon you will find that everything in your history except sin has been for you. That's a good word, a word to remember.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Friday and welcome. Pastor Bill continues his study in the epistle of 1 Peter today with the message titled, Our Great Salvation. Let's listen in.
Peter is an exceptional study. 1 Peter, as we've already learned, it's like a divine handbook, if you will, for anyone in any generation that's going through trials and sufferings and persecutions, and as Peter says, in a place, in a land that's not even their home. This earth is not our home, amen? So it was written, as we already know, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. The word pilgrims means resident aliens or those that are sojourning, if you will, on a land that doesn't belong to them. They're among people that do not know the Lord, if you will, scattered. That's what the word dispersion means. They've been scattered along unbelievers around the world or in different places of the world, the five provinces that Peter talks about there in verse 1. To the pilgrims of the dispersion, it goes Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Those are all those Roman provinces. Now, this epistle is written, I believe, and there's a debate on it, which is fine, to, I believe, primarily Jewish believers, okay? However, I know that Gentile believers are involved in this as well. And so as we look at this, Peter is going to tell us how every generation of believers, them, us, how we can live in a world that is falling apart, a world that is so unstable, a world that changes every day and every year, how we can remain stable in that culture. And the only way that we can do it now, and they could do it then, was remember we covered it the last two times we were together, there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. That is the theme, if you will, or what we're to do. Let me read it to you. And this is a command, by the way, and we have to obey this command if we're going to remain stable in this world. It says, I have written to you, Peter says, briefly, just a short letter. He says, exhorting you, that word in Greek is parakaleo, which means I'm coming alongside of you now to encourage you and strengthen you. He says, and testifying that this is the true grace of God. And then he says, in which you stand. The word stand, of course, is the command that we are all to obey, them and us as well. So he's saying you must take your stand in the grace of God. You must persevere in the grace of God. Now listen, Peter writes this not only to encourage us and them, but he encourages us and to assure us that, loved one, that no matter what kind of trials or sufferings that we're going through, and they were going through bitter persecution, and soon we may be as well. He says, you can count on the grace of God. Amen? You know what the grace of God, the unmerited, unearned favor of the divine living God that is rest upon you 24/7? Do you know what it can do if you really stand in it and believe you have it? It can take your trial. God's grace can transform every one of our trials into our triumphs. And you know how he does that? Do you really believe that God does that? Okay, if you believe God's word, then this is what he says about triumph. What does it say? 2 Corinthians, what is it, 2:14? Thanks be unto God who leads us. That's a beautiful word, isn't it? Who always leads us in triumph, in victory, to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Loved one, listen, the only way to walk in victory in trial, persecution, when you don't know what to do, is you have to be led by the Lord. Amen? There's no other way. If we're not being led by the Lord, we're being led by the flesh. And the flesh, will it get you anywhere? Yes, it will. It'll get you in trouble. Amen? Yeah. So we don't want to do that. So when we talked this morning about our text, remember from last Sunday, the title of the text was Our Great Salvation, okay? So that's why he says, look at verse 6 now. He says, in this you greatly what? You rejoice. So we greatly rejoice in what? Well, verses 3 through 5, we've already learned it about our incredible salvation, that we have been chosen by God. Isn't that amazing? To be chosen by God means he not only picked you, selected you, it means that he has set his love upon you. Now listen, in eternity. That's something. Not only are you chosen by God, it says you are set apart, our great salvation, you're set apart by the Holy Spirit of God. He not only lives in you, he now has sealed you until the very day of redemption. And then, so chosen by God, set apart by the Spirit, but we are purchased, it says in 3 through 5, purchased by the blood of Jesus. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Amen? We have heaven as our home. The word kept there, reserved. You have a reservation in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And it can never be canceled. Remember what I told you last Sunday? Never be canceled. Oh, and it's kept. That means it's guarded by God for you until the moment you arrive. Everything that God has promised is waiting for you right now. Man, in this it says, you greatly rejoice. Now listen, that word greatly rejoice is the same word Jesus used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, when it talks about if you're being persecuted for his name's sake, he says rejoice, and that word means in Greek, jump for joy. When's the last time you jumped for joy? When the Mavericks are going to the playoffs? Thursday night, 7 p.m., first game. Boston Celtics. Listen, but this side wants to know. The Boston Celtics, now when I was growing up, they were the greatest team in the world. And that was my team. John Havlicek, Bob Cousy, y'all don't remember those people. Matt, Larry Seafried, you want some more? This has nothing to do with my sermon. But I look there and I see all that God says, you shall, in this salvation that we have, this incredible salvation, it says, leap for joy, shout for joy. Why? Nothing can touch your salvation and nothing can touch heaven, which is your home. Amen? But here's the problem. Head knowledge all by itself. If it's just head knowledge, I've got, you know, Jesus 101, okay? I have it all down. I have all the facts. That will not produce that kind of joy. You have to have the head knowledge, but it has to get into heart knowledge, amen? And when it becomes heart knowledge, it becomes faith. And that means that God's living word, after you really believe it, is alive in your hearts, and you know what happens? It erases all of your doubts concerning the Word of God. Man, the living Word of God. You've been justified. You're in the process of sanctification, and one day we will be glorified. Amen? Meaning we're going to be in heaven with brand new bodies, loved one. Now, look what he says. Now, in this you're greatly rejoiced, and then he uses that word, though now. Talking to them, and it could be us as well. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by how many trials? Okay, all kinds of trials. But I want you to see that word grieved. That word grieved, of course, it means terribly distressed. It means to be in deep sorrow. It means to be in heaviness of soul and heart and mind and so forth. Now, those two words, as I told you the last time we were together, they are as far apart as the east is from the west, okay? Greatly rejoiced and grieved, okay? Now, I want you to listen to me now, because I didn't tell you this last Sunday, because I rushed. Here's what I have learned, and I know to be fact now, at my young age, 50, I've learned it, okay? And that is this. And I used to think that what I'm about to tell you was not true. But I learned that it was what I was believing was a lie. And look at the scripture again. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been distressed and you have been in sorrow. You have been heavy because of all these trials. Now listen, God never asks you to deny your emotions. I used to do that. I'd say, no, I'm not in faith if I don't do that. That's not true, loved one. Did Jesus weep? Yes. Did he have emotion? He not only wept over Jerusalem, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Amen? No, Jesus was troubled. Listen, don't do that. Listen, grieved and sorrow and heaven, those are real emotions. That is real hurt. Now, what we never want to do in a trial, persecution, suffering, sickness, whatever we're going through, don't ever allow your emotions to lie to you. Don't do that at all, especially during trials and persecutions, or whatever is happening in your life. See, because let me tell you what emotion can tell you. They'll tell you lies when you're going through it. You'll hear a voice that says, well, God doesn't love me. Amen? Come on. I wouldn't be going through this. Why is this happening in my life? God couldn't care for me. That is a lie. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Those emotions tell you sometimes when you're going through sufferings and trials and you lose everything, you lost your job, you don't have any money, whatever it might be, it says to you, listen, God's forsaking you. That's a lie. He will never forsake you. He will never relax his hold upon you. Amen? He's inscribed you, it says, on the palm of his hand, okay? It also, those emotions lie to you and say, well, here's the problem. You're going through all these kind of trials, and the reason is because now you're out of the will of God. Now, that could be true, but God chastens those he loves. He disciplines us. Amen? Listen, you can walk. You can have the perfect prayer time, study time, and you're going to go through trials and sufferings in your life. There's just no way around it. Talking about emotions, I want you to listen to Job. We know what he went through. But listen to his emotional state. Let me read it to you from Job 7:7. This is, of course, remember, he's sick. He's lost his health. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his children. He's lost his servants, his cattle, except his wife is still with him. Remember? Okay. And those three crummy friends. Okay. Now, he says in Job 7:7, Job says, my eye will never see good again. You know, when you're going through, don't you kind of feel that way? Every day is a bad day. He says, my eye will never see good again. He says, I will never return to my home. It's all over with. I'll never have a home again. Job didn't know the last part of chapter 42, what God was going to give him. Everything he had lost, he would double it. Remember that? He didn't know that, loved one. But listen, here when we talk about these trials in 1 Peter, it's very important to remember what I told you the last time we were together. These various trials are not from living a godly lifestyle. Okay, anyone who lives a godly lifestyle is going to suffer persecution in this world. Amen? These are bitter, bitter persecution for Jesus' sake. Man, he knows what you're going through. Look what he says there. It's just for a little while. It's not forever. So trials are maybe lasting, but they're never lasting, although they probably will last 70 or 80 years of your life. But it's a little humor. No. For a little while. That means trials, they do have a season, and there is a purpose, and God is right there. He's in control. He's not going to let you down. And whenever you, like I told you the last time we were together, when you find yourself in a situation that's too big for you, remember, it's never too big for God. It's never too big for our Lord. See, we know about things that come against us. Let me read to you Romans 8:28. For we know, meaning it's a fact, we have it in our heart, we know that all things work together for good. That doesn't mean all things are good, though. Amen? But they work together for good to those who, number one, that love God. Not to everybody, you see, in this world. To those who love God, and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Remember what I said last Sunday. God, when he chose you in eternity, every person that God chooses, he chooses for service. God has a plan for your life and a purpose for your life, and he's given you giftings. Now listen, anyone can rejoice in tribulation, or anyone can rejoice if they're winning. Amen? Anyone can rejoice when you're not suffering, but to rejoice when you're going through it is supernatural. Do you understand? It's supernatural, loved one. But listen, we don't ever rejoice in the trial. We rejoice in our Savior. Remember, what is it, Philippians 4:4, Paul, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say unto you, rejoice. Thessalonians, what did Paul write? We are to rejoice always. We're to pray without ceasing. Amen? All those things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we rejoice not in what we're going through, but we rejoice in the one who's going to get us through it. Amen? Now, Romans 8:17, let me read this one to you. It says, and since we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, indeed, if we suffer with him, meaning suffering that's necessitated by our relationship with him, not because, you know, we're a legalistic Christian or something, because we're serving the Lord. He says, if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. For I consider, Paul says, the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings, the persecutions, the trials, whatever, is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in you. Robert Murray McSheen, I love what he said about trials, about all things working together for good. He said, how soon you will find that everything in your history except sin has been for you. That's a good word, a word to remember. So you say, well, Bill, how is it really possible? I mean, here we are to have this kind of joy, jumping for joy, but at the same time we're in sorrow and we're grieving. How in the world is this done? Well, what did Jesus tell us? Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. This is not natural joy. This is supernatural joy. And the supernatural joy only comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? No one else. There's no such thing as Christianity without the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9. If the Spirit of Christ doesn't dwell in you, then you don't belong to him, loved one. So it's always by the power of another, the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do that in myself. My flesh doesn't want that. My flesh wants comfort. My lazy boy. I won't sell my lazy boy. I've been thinking about it, but I've had it for over 40 years. And like I've always said, it's conformed to my image. It really is. I mean, it's ugly. It's worn out. But when I get in it, I mean, I just go out. I mean, I'm out. And I get in it every day. But, you know, I want comfort. I don't want to go through trials and all of that. Neither do you. But, you know, the thing is that it's only by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, what does it say? The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, when they were going through it, it says, Paul told them, said, oh, you became followers of us. You have received the word, meaning the good news. And he said, you received it in much affliction, much persecution. He goes on and suffering with joy. And then he tells us where that joy comes from, the joy of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And listen, there's no strength for any trial, Christian, unless you have that joy. But you do have that joy. Jesus said in John 15:11, I have spoken these things unto you that my joy may remain in you. His joy remains in you right now. So he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Now look what these trials do. They purify and they prove our faith. Watch. That the genuineness of your faith, the word genuineness means to be, it's a test, to be approved after testing, to be genuine. It says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by what? By fire, meaning you're going through the fiery furnace, man. It says, may be found to praise, honor, and glory, meaning to God, when? At the revelation or the appearing of Jesus Christ. So tested and proved genuine. Remember, gold is always tested by fire, but believers are tested by adversity. Whenever we go through whatever in this life, if you belong to Jesus, the aim of this suffering or persecution, whatever it might be, it's never to destroy you. It's always to develop your faith and spiritual growth. Amen? That's what it's about. You know, I mean, let's like today, when our kids are going through it, don't rescue them. Be there, watch, just like God watches over you. Amen? He gets you through it. But he doesn't rescue you. He saves us through the affliction. Amen? And the same thing with our kids. They have to, that's what toughens up our kids. Amen? We can't be a helicopter pilot, rescue, you know, like the, whatever you call them, they fly in and rescue them. Oh, you poor thing. No. Let them suffer. No. Trials do something else. They teach you that God is faithful. He teaches you that God is faithful to his word. It teaches you that God's word is absolutely true. See, to be tested by fire, like gold is tested by fire, you know the process in that. They keep burning it and heating it, and they take a little dross off, and then they take the dross off and the dross off. But when the goldsmith, whenever he can finally look into the gold and sees his own reflection, he says, it's pure. Well, that's the reflection that God is producing and the Holy Spirit's producing in you and me is Christ, Christ-likeness, amen? And that's what it's all about. You know, Job said this in Job 23:10, but God knows the way I take, and when he's tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Someone said, gold fears no fire, and neither should we. So genuine faith, it just said, is much more precious. It's highly valued to God. Remember, Peter uses that word precious 7 times in 1 Peter. So it is precious to God. It honors God, loved one. Now, so what is he saying? He's saying that our faith, when we're going through it, whatever it is, he says, our faith is the greatest gift that we can give to God, or give back to God, if you will. And so to believe God that, you know, God, I know you can't lie. Now, we've already learned that there's only one way for a Christian to live on this planet. I mean, 4 times in Scripture it says, the just shall live by faith. Amen? Romans 1:17 and many other, Habakkuk 2:4 and so forth. And so, but we not only live faith, but apart from faith, as we've already learned, there is absolutely no way to please God. No, you can't do it. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, when you study out suffering in the Bible and persecution and trials and all the things, have you ever asked yourself, for example, Job, which Job was one of my favorite books, you know. Matter of fact, remember the theme that I used when I taught Job, the happiest book in the Bible? I did. How did Job endure all that he went through? Have you ever asked yourself that? How in the world did he do that? Can I give you the scripture? Job 23:11-12. Job says, my foot has held fast to his steps. I followed him. He says, I kept his way and I didn't turn aside. He says, I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. Now here it comes. I have treasured the words of God's mouth, his mouth, more than my necessary food. That's how he made it. Listen, the word of God was more important to Job in his suffering than his daily intake of food. Do you treasure God's word like that? That's a challenge to all of us. Listen, do you believe God's word? We have a command that Jesus gave us. He says in Matthew 4:4, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Now listen to me. If you don't treasure God's word, and I say this in love, okay? If God's word is not like when you open it, a treasure to you. I mean, it's God's word speaking to us, amen? Yeah, these are not Peter's words that here. They're words the Holy Spirit used him. Does that make sense? This is God speaking to us. Loved one, listen, if you don't treasure the word of God, if you don't hide the word of God in your heart and have that time where you're learning it and loving it and meditating upon it, here's what happens in a trial. You have absolutely no foundation. Do you understand? You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to turn. And you start searching for scriptures now. No, you have to be prepared ahead of time for the storm. Amen? That's what Jesus, what did he say? Matthew 7:24. I love that scripture. He says, he who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to what kind of man? Wise man. He built his house on the rock, if you will. He didn't build it upon sand. That was the foolish man. And that foolish man, did his house fall? Okay, we know when it talks about his house, it's talking about his life, not his home. The storms, the trials, the persecutions, they blow into our life at any moment, unknown. Just like the storms that we've been experiencing here in Texas. They can do a lot of destruction. They can take away everything that we've worked for. But if you know the word of God, you haven't lost a thing. Amen.
Pastor Bill will complete this message on our Monday program, and we trust you'll tune in once again. thank you for listening to Love Never Fails this week. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.